Hey everyone, welcome back to the Go-Getters podcast brought to you by On Milwaukee and Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io. I've got our office neighbor on today, Josh Delaney. So he's big news. He is the founder of Fab CBD, which he recently sold 80% of at a $20.6 million valuation to Canada-based company High Tide Inc., publicly traded. And he's got a new development, the 1540 in the works in downtown Milwaukee. It's a three-story office building, four townhomes. Youngish guy, about 35 years old, but he's been going at it for a while. Fab just started not too long ago, I think three or four years ago, but he's got 18 years of online marketing, affiliate marketing, e-commerce experience. So far from an overnight success, but I think this is the largest acquisition that I know of for a younger Milwaukee startup founder that I've ever heard of. So excited to have Josh on finally and get his backstory.
3 years in the making.
Dude, you finally are big time enough to make it. You know you make it when you cash out for about 20 mil and get invited on the Go-Getters podcast. So welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Josh, so what's your backstory and what's the origin of Fab CBD?
Hold on. I'm tagging you in this thing quick.
I appreciate it.
I got it.
For the gram.
Yeah.
For the gram.
I'm gramming it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I won't spin it off into a dovetail of stories. But yeah, I mean, first business at 18, 35 now. Haven't stopped since. Mostly in sales, marketing, affiliate space. And, you know, that has transformed into a multitude of, you know, businesses and, you know, websites and products and things like that. But the grand scheme of it has always been sales, marketing, direct sales, affiliate marketing, and, you know, and 17 years worth.
And fitness. You own some gyms for a while. I know you've been a fitness nut and that's blended into your e-commerce. But when you think about Fab CBD, so you guys are a supplement company, if you want to just touch on that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the progression of, you know, sales, marketing, and all that. I found the fitness industry very early. So I started business at 18. I found the gym at like 19 and a half, 20. That was like an immediate, you know, passion and love. Like, okay, I get it. Having a six pack is like a superhuman. So addicted to that quickly, but didn't marry business to fitness or health and wellness for probably 5, 6, 7 years. One of my businesses or investments, wasn't my business, but an investment I had made in a startup led me to Los Angeles. And that was where my love for fitness and health and wellness, I started meeting people in the health and wellness space, obviously Los Angeles. So like you can throw a rock and hit somebody in health and wellness. So that was where I started to go, okay, I really like the health and wellness lifestyle. I'm starting to meet people that are in health and wellness products and all that. So I married my sales, marketing, and affiliate marketing and what I could do online with like the passion of like, okay, my whole life is these two things. Let's put them together. You know, that happened when I lived in Los Angeles for a while. That was, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And ever since then, my niche within sales and marketing has been mostly health and wellness consumable products, which has a lot to do with, again, my lifestyle, but also from a business standpoint, consumables, reoccurring billing, you know, products that have to be ordered every 30 to 60 days. So it was a very easy point for me already being in my career of sales of like, hey, I love this space, but like, this is a good business to be in too. So like, this makes a lot of sense. It wasn't just like, oh my gosh, I love health. Let me figure it out. It was very strategic of like, no, this is a, you know, this is a good idea. And I just happen to be obsessed with fitness. And this is a great business model of, you know, health and wellness products, you know, building them and all that. So that is stuck for, you know, over a decade.
You say it's a great business model, which makes it sound a little easier than it is because it's a very saturated market.
Totally.
Supplements. So many people want to get in that. It's sexy. And so it's a lot, it's very hard to start a sexy company like supplement products. Usually you see the big valuations on companies that are in very non-sexy industries that have lower competition, but you pulled something off here that is difficult to do. How did you formulate these products to stand out? And was it just because you have this marketing engine and all the experience with affiliates that you were able to just get this on a scale day one? And I know you were early when it came to CBD?
Yeah, I mean, the Fab was only a success story because of what built up to it. Fab was accidental. Like, Fab was not a plan. CBD was not a plan. But because I had a decade of doing the same model in harder markets, when CBD came around, I was early. So I didn't do anything different than what I had been doing. The difference was, is I got into something really early and had such a boom to, you know, it had such a hockey stick, tail to it. So, but the, yeah, supplements is difficult, but, you know, my way into it was I was an affiliate for a lot of big companies, billion-dollar companies. I was selling millions of dollars in proteins and superfoods, which are my like niche. Those are powder supplements were my thing. So as I got closer to the top of these companies in terms of befriending owners and the formulators and going into manufacturing facilities, going into warehouses, you know what I mean? As I made friends with more of the executive level people within companies that I was selling for, I got to see behind the curtain. And not to discredit some of these guys, but to, you know, my ego was like, this is not rocket science. You know, this is, you know, putting all of this together, the logistics, the supply chain, you know, this is not something that is, you know, overly difficult to a competent person. It didn't mean that, oh, this is going to be easy to like start up overnight, but I got it. It was just some, you know what I mean? If I probably would have gone through that exercise in any industry, I would have thought the same thing, but that just happened to be the one that I really got from, you know, having a product in my hand and using it to like all the way going to seeing how it was made, where it started. And I said, okay, I get this. You know, my health and wellness background, I get why you're putting that ingredient in that bottle. I get why you're using that bottle instead of this bottle. You know, I get why you did that from a cost standpoint. I get why, you know, you put these ingredients together. I get why that, you know, the truck is taking it here to ship it and why you're, you know what I mean? That just made sense to me. So, you know, again, having a background in health and wellness, I was able to understand ingredients and formulations and stuff. So that was, you know, natural gravitation. But all of my sales and marketing skill sets online, and able to build a team of great people online, I was ready for something to be early in, you know what I mean? So it was like it, when CBD came along very accidentally, I was working on another protein and superfood company of my own, which is now called Plant Goods, which will be launching shortly. But you know, I was building that when I got a call about CBD and just made the decision to say, okay, I'll bet on that. Like, this seems good. Like, this makes sense. I don't know what's going to happen. It was literally zero. You know what I mean? It was a zero sum game of, we have no product. We have no knowledge of the industry at like scale, right? Like, we don't know if this is going to work or not. It was just me. And I said, all right, yeah, let me put a couple bucks into it. I literally started Fab with 20. I got online for $20,000. That's how much it costs to get online with product. And the minimum order quantities of CBD products at the time when I was making them was literally 50. So I only had to order 50 of each SKU, any SKU I had at that time. That's how small the market was. Now, I mean, nobody will touch you unless you're ordering thousands and thousands and thousands. Our orders now are in the tens of thousands. But that was like how easy it was in terms of, you know, kind of coming to market. So I was online for 20 grand. I was recycling money and I was in the profit after like 70. But that 50 in between, I got from sales. So I got online for 20 and then recycled 50 more to give it about 70. And then we were off to the races. And then 70 turned into 30 million. So it was crazy.
And what are some of the main tactics that you use to sell this product and that you've used to sell millions of dollars in products before Fab CBD?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest market I'm in terms of marketing is affiliate marketing and search engine optimization. Those are my two skill sets. And having great people like within those skill sets as well. You know, I'm not the only one that's punching the keyboard. You know, affiliate marketing is such a great way in the product business and in service businesses too, depending on what you have, you know, SaaS products or whatever, softwares and stuff, you know, there's big affiliate markets there. But in terms of a physical product business, there are thousands, tens of thousands of other people, other marketers out there that are talking about those products on their own websites and their own blogs, and they're investing in getting their websites to rank for keywords. So you can hedge your bet on their investments, you know, just by finding those people. So I am a big fan of affiliate marketing from that sense. It's you're working with other owners almost, you know, like I have someone who has my mentality to sell my product. That's like a next to impossible thing to find. you know, even in your own staff, right? Like that's just the next to impossible skill set to find. So in affiliate marketing, I can go get, you know, right now with Fab, we have over 1,000 affiliates. I have over 1,000 people that treat their business, which is marketing my product, as seriously as I do my own. And that's a crazy, like to me, that's nuts. Like, why would you do anything else? So that's a big pivot. That's a big thing we do. And then we do a lot of search engine optimization, which plays into that same, you know, thing where we're building real estate online rather than renting. So we do a lot of paid media as well, but nowhere near the investment that we do. And that's the way to look at it is if the internet is a real estate portfolio, are you renting space or are you trying to own space and buy space? And I take the approach of I want to own websites. I want to own assets. I want to own my own traffic. And then we'll rent some from Facebook and we'll rent some traffic from Instagram and we'll rent some traffic from Pinterest and things like that. But I want to own as much traffic as possible. Yeah.
Could go quite a ways down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
but maybe a different episode we can have you on and talk more about those specifics. Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode of the Go-Getters Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any topics, guest suggestions, or just want to give some feedback, feel free to reach out. Head to ggmm.io. That's ggmm.io. We've got a nice form on our website. And if you are looking to grow your business and have a big 2021, whether that's through podcasting, digital advertising, or our video services, we would love to hear from you. Again, you can head to our website, ggmm.io. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's get back to the episode. Your story is really interesting. What main takeaways from your story would you pass on to entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs?
I mean, everyone's story is so different. You know, it's I spent a lot of years like in the motivational space in terms of like always needing motivation. And now I'm in the space of like, if you need motivation, entrepreneurialism is really not for you. It's an execution game now, you know, and it's only getting harder to start a business, right? As the years go on, we're running out of ideas. We're running, you know what I mean? Now there's new problems to be solved, but there's not, the rate of new problems to solve is not growing as fast as we are creating new products, right? Or services. We are creating products and services faster than there's problems to solve, in my opinion. So that just makes it harder. You know, markets are getting saturated faster. You have more people wanting to enter, which causes distraction. So it's an execution game now. It is no longer a let's think about it forever. Just do it. Do it and do it as affordable as possible. So my big message nowadays and has been for maybe, you know, 5 to 10 years has really landed on the put up or shut up because you're going to ruin it for the rest of us. You know, you either are going to play the game and you're going to play it hard and you're going to play it right with us because there's plenty to go around if you do it right. Or you're just a distraction. Come work with us, right? You know, and I've had a lot of those conversations with, you know, a lot of people that work with me to say, hey, listen, do you really want to play this game of entrepreneurialism on your own? Or do you want to come with us and play it with us at a much higher level, at a bigger level? And you'll get more out of it. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of a, you know, it's again, execute. What do you want to do? Let's go. So that is more of kind of the tone and messaging I carry with myself nowadays is let's figure out how you're just going to do something and let's go execute on it and figure out later, you know, whether that you like it, don't like it, but let's get moving.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. You can either go do this on your own or start this on your own or work with us with much less risk, much less stress, probably more money
and
in most cases.
Bigger reward. Yeah,
bigger
exactly.
Reward in most cases. Someone who's your employee is obviously not going to get a $20 million cash out, but...
No, but I will say that was my pitch to everyone that's on my team now has heard the pitch that Fab's going to sell.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for it and you're all going to get paid. And I'm happy to say that I gave away over $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, I everyone got bonuses. Everyone's getting paid. You know, we got a ton of stock. We got a ton of stuff. And, you know, that was like a big moment of like, hey guys, I told you we would do this. And I told you that it was going to be bigger for you rather than doing it on your own.
Yep.
And I take pride in like, hey guys, I meant what I said and I delivered on that. And we're just getting started. You know, and that was, I gave away over $1 million. It was really cool. You know,
that's an interesting lesson because I don't think people realize how difficult it is to get something off the ground on their own, and they could be a lot better off if it's a certain personality type going and working for someone like you or working for that next hot startup and being employee 3 or 4 over there.
Yep.
And getting something out of it. Whereas I know we can talk about you, but I know how hard you work and how you don't turn off and you're just wired a different way. Do you want to touch on that at all?
I think it's kind of the same point, and you get it because you've been doing this for a long time too. You know what I mean? It's like, I remember meeting you the first time. I mean, you've been doing this for 10 years.
I started this as a daily deal site out of college.
That, I remember that. Ago. So I knew
it was,
you.
It was a while ago in like 2011, 2012.
I met you. I totally forgot about that. But I met you at that time. That's the first time I ever met you.
Right.
I don't think we didn't form the relationship yet, but I totally forgot about that. But I now remember that is when I met you, was when it was a deal site. And I think the second time I met you was in your office in Bayview. And that's when like our actual relationship started, where like we knew each other.
Probably.
But that, I mean, it's that. It's you, right? You stuck to it, right? And a lot of people don't want to stick to stuff. It's hard to see the vision. And I guess, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. I didn't have like a bad childhood. You know what I mean? Like I don't know where the wiring comes from of like, I see it. I don't exactly know what I see. I just see something, and it's worth it for me for I don't know what reason. It is worth it for me to be all in. And that is also like a part of my messaging of like, it doesn't have to be a clear, if CBD was an accident, but I was ready for it. Right. So like the product of me being all in on all sorts of crazy stuff, like I had franchises, I had, you know what I mean? I've had so many businesses and not all of them were wins. I mean, I had a lot of fails, I had a total bombs, and I had a lot of break evens, and then I had a lot of wins, and I had the franchises, I exited those, like that, it's been all over the place. But the biggest thing was being all in because I knew something, I knew I was going to do something. I knew that we had the people, I knew I had the mindset, like I knew something was going to happen. So I just always stayed ready, right? And that was like that. The motivation was, is I'm going to be ready because it's going to happen, but I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be. And the irony of it is that's exactly what happened. Something random happened, right? Something random, CBD, had no knowledge of it. It came out of nowhere, but we were ready. Like I was ready because of, you know, the answer to that question of like, I don't know, you just have it. You want it or you don't. And I wanted it. And I was ready when something big happened to be able to make the decision of like, we're going to do that and we're ready to be all in.
And there's a lot of luck and timing that happens with entrepreneurship, but you built up a skill set over 15 years to be prepared behind the scenes. Yes. And you had a lot of those fails and a lot of those break evens, which is more likely than what just happened. But you had all of those before you hit it big on this thing.
I think it's exactly right. You're exactly right. It's, you have to be ready to be lucky. Right? Like luck is a real thing. So it's not this all like, oh, you know, like everyone, you know, it's like not that cliche. It's like, no, it was luck. Like me getting the call about CBD was total luck. And that's really what it was. A friend of mine calling and saying, hey, you know, CBD thing, total luck. But the skill sets to be ready is another thing. Everybody gets lucky and everybody has lucky opportunities. They just aren't in a place to recognize them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like the messaging is be ready, be all in. Believe in yourself so that you really are ready when luck strikes.
Right. And with my story too, I won't go too in depth, but like the coupon business was a failure, but we learned a lot and we built up a network. And then pivoting to a marketing agency was a shit show the first several years. And then we stumbled across podcasting and that kind of worked in 2016 for us. And then we launched it as a service in 2018 and didn't have a single customer for like 6-7 months when I thought that was going to blow up right away.
But now you guys are like the only ones that do this at this level.
Right, right. Now we have global brands reaching out to us that we get to work with, and we're doing good now. But it took a long time to get there, and just a lot of just kind of having that vision or knowing that something's going to pop off or keep pivoting and and trying. And there's lessons to that for sure, no matter what field you're in entrepreneurship. I do want to shift to Milwaukee. You spent time living all over the country. I know LA, San Diego, you were in Charlotte for a while. You were in Bama for a little bit. Yep.
Alabama was the best.
I'm a big fan of Bama. I took a road trip to Tuscaloosa with some guys once. We had a good time down there. Anyway, why did you come back to Milwaukee and what do you see in the city right now?
First off, go Bucks. So the Bucks,
they should be in the finals when this airs. They're currently in the conference finals. Oh, yeah. This will air next week.
I'm still sweating from game 7 of the last series. But
be thankful Durant's foot was not an inch back. Yes, it would have been completely different. But luck and timing. Seriously. Business, sports, we got to take advantage of these good breaks.
I saw Coach Bud for breakfast, not like personally, but like he showed up at the same place I was eating breakfast at that next day. And when they walked away, the buddy that I was with was like, "Hey, Coach Bud, when he was on the line, what was like in your head right there from behind him?" And he was like, "Oh, I died inside. I thought it was for sure a 3. He's like, "I died on the inside," when he just laughed and walked away. I was like, "Oh, we all died on the inside." but no, it's a great question. And there's actually like legitimate reason to it. I mean, yes, I lived everywhere. And I think, you know, being raised in I don't want to say small town, but like Menominee Falls here, right? You know, right outside of Milwaukee. You know, home is home, right? So that's like the first thing, right? Nothing cliche about that other than like just home is home. The irony here is I don't have family here anymore. So like my family all thought that I would live elsewhere. So my parents moved like towards the south east of the country because I was in Alabama, Florida, you know, Charlotte. You know, I had businesses in Massachusetts. So they thought they kind of tried to corner me on the East Coast. And, you know, luck have it, I ended up not doing that. But, you know, living in LA on the beach, living in Alabama, getting to, you know, having that type of, you know, the personalities in Los Angeles, then the Southern draw personalities in Alabama and Charlotte, you know, meeting my wife now who's from Florida, you know, like, and I'm a very self-aware person. I think that's a big message too, is like people really, you know, we got to be self-aware. We got a lot of this is self-awareness, you know, kind of in everything, you know, lack of self-awareness is like what I see where people make the biggest mistakes, and people that are the most self-aware are the ones that, you know, have really do well. But it was being very aware of like the type of people I liked, the type of people I got along with, you know, the type of, you know, kind of big fish, small pond, small fish, big pond, you know, all that kind of, I took all that into consideration. And I really like Milwaukee. But honestly, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, 17 years ago, when I started moving, like the first time I moved was right out of high school. It was because the business community here was not like that prevalent yet. You know what I mean? Like it really wasn't. And I was aware of that. I was like, "Hey, I'm trying to network. I'm trying to do this. I'm in sales. I'm just not meeting anyone. No one really gets it here." You know what I mean? Like that was a struggle in my early 20s in Milwaukee, was that people just didn't get it. It wasn't accepted as much, right? Like we were I'm sure you went through it too. 10 plus years ago, we were the weird people. If we were selling something or we were doing something, like it was weird. What are you doing? You're starting a business. Why don't you do that? Go back to school, go get a real job, yada, yada. You know, that's at least what I heard. So I moved away from that, you know, right? I didn't move away from like Wisconsin necessarily. I never had a problem with Wisconsin or Milwaukee. I moved away from it just not being as accepted to be a crazy entrepreneur before I even knew like what I was doing, right? It's like, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Why is this so crazy? But going and traveling to all those other places, and again, being aware of the people and how people treated you and vice versa, Milwaukee drew myself and my wife back, again, who's from Tampa, Florida, you know, a pretty cool place too, because we like wanted to be big fish in a small pond in a good way, we wanted to make a difference. We do a lot of charity work. You know, we've given 6 figures back to charity. I hope to get that up to 7 figures. You know, we like actually knowing people, right? It's not just these quick, when I was in LA, you know, in Sandy, it's like you meet people and it's in and out, right? You like maybe never see them again. You know what I mean? It's just, there's no relationships really built that well. There's always an agenda. You know, all of those things led us back here to say, listen, we can build real relationships here. We can have a real impact. You know, Milwaukee's on the come up. Still got a lot of problems here, but like we're on the come up. And I think at our age, myself, my wife, where the businesses were at, we moved people here from other states. You know what I mean? Like I really truly had, you know, kind of like, hey, let's be a part of Milwaukee's come up rather than let's go to some random city and just be another person there. We get to pick. We have the luxury of picking where we want to go and what kind of impact we want to make. And we felt that the biggest impact that we might be able to make is back here in Milwaukee to really say, hey, let's be a part of that come up. Even if it's a tiny bit, let's like be able to kind of build our own little legacy to look back and say, hey, we moved back to like my hometown and we like made a difference. We like, we knew people, we met people, we impacted people that impacted us and vice versa. So, you know, Milwaukee drew us from kind of that angle. And I feel like we're trying to do that. You know, we're making an attempt at making a difference in the areas of the city that we are trying to touch.
Yeah,
even in a small, you know, small way.
Absolutely. And a lot has changed over the last 10 years. A lot's changed for the better. I think there's definitely areas to improve. You talked on a different interview about having a talent problem here mm-hmm. in Milwaukee. Can you touch on that a little bit? And what do you think the city can be doing better? And this may not be an overnight fix to attract talent.
You know, I've got a very, in my, I mean, this is probably, I mean, this is controversial with a lot of other people in the business community with me here. So I would agree. Milwaukee has come up really far in the business community and the startup community. It's, again, way more accepted. All that, I think, has been great. I think the problems, again, I might get torched for this, but whatever. Milwaukee needs to stop talking about raising money. Milwaukee business needs to stop talking about, you know, venture capital. Milwaukee needs to stop talking about all the stuff that has nothing to do with the businesses that are built in Milwaukee. There's less than 3%. This is a stat that's been released by the startup community, by Startup MKE released this, which I thought was ironic because they talk about raising money all the time. But less than 3% of businesses actually get funding here. The businesses that are here are not businesses that are looking for funding. So let's stop talking about it at that capacity. If you got a business that really needs funding, you're going to get it here because there's not many that can accept it. Right? Like there's not many that even are at a place that could take it. So if you do have something that can take it, you're going to probably get it, you know, because it's not a huge community here of businesses that are at that level or have that good of an idea or whatever, right? The businesses and the entrepreneurs that have done well, have a great idea and legitimately have a business model and a pro forma and all of the things that map out for them to get funding, they get it. Kudos to them, right? Like they do the work to get it. I think the missing piece here, maybe, you know, I'll help be a part of it. Maybe I won't. I don't know. You know, who knows what that'll hold. But I think the message for businesses in Milwaukee is a lot more bootstrap businesses. It's a lot more, you know, off the ground. You don't need money. You need to get to it. You need someone to teach you. You know, I'm speaking from my place, like maybe how to go do affiliate marketing. You need people to talk about how to get your bookkeeping together. You know what I mean? Like how many times I meet people that don't know their numbers is crazy. You know, and I say that in an encouraging way, you know what I mean? Not in like that you're dumb, like you just don't know. Nobody has sat you down at these conferences that we do here and talked about, hey, the first step to making money is tracking money, right? Like that you can't make it if you don't know where it exists. So I think things like that is where we need to shift the entrepreneurial community here. And that goes for some guys that do well. You know, I've met guys that do really well. They're like, hey, you know, we do well because we got a great product, but like, we could do a, you know, we could get better with our hiring. So on the talent side of it, to go back to your original question, I think that is why talent is harder to find because the talent that we have here is yet to like reach their potential. So they're not visible to us yet, but they're here, right? I don't believe that we don't have talented people in Milwaukee. I believe that those talented people have yet to sprout themselves.
Kind of an education or yes. training. Issue in relevant things.
Yes, I believe that they have yet to be recognized because they have yet to be in an environment or a business or under an entrepreneur or under a model that allows them to showcase their talent, to realize what they're good at or not good at. That is what I think we're lacking. You know, but I say it in a good way. Again, I don't think we have no talented people here. The talented's not being utilized properly because the messaging could be a little bit better to help a lot of those businesses, you know, do well so that talent can raise up with those guys and they can shift, right? Like, you know, it's very rare that you're going to get a team that stays with you forever, right? They're going to come from me to you and vice versa and bounce around and that's how they grow, right? Like all the good people came from somewhere and they came from somewhere that they must have done well if we took them. So, you know, I think there needs to be more exchange of talent in the right environments to start to give Milwaukee that next level of business, you know, proper business community, which was we have the ideas, we have the energy, we have the promotion of business and entrepreneurialism, we have the institutional funding to kind of get the city into it. We have all those pieces. Now we need to move the players around. We need to get them the right messaging. We need to get them the right training and create good homes for them so they can kind of sprout up and say, hey, there's the leader. There's the good marketer. There's the good, you know, guy there for this. There's the good girl for that. You know, we start to notice them more. You know, so I think that's where the work can go.
Well, I have you before I let you go. You're invested in the real estate community here. You have that new development coming up on the east side. Can you touch on that?
Yeah.
And its importance.
Yeah. You know, it was like one of the last pieces of land in Milwaukee. you know, we need to put some cash into some places. So invest, you know, we're trying to diversify our
Where exactly is this? It's on the east side,
it's
right?
It's in the north end. So Water and Pleasant.
Yep.
Right in like that, I think it's Mandel that does, is it Mandel who does the north end?
Yes.
Yeah, Mandel. So right in that Mandel, like big Mandel development, right on one of the corners there, the empty corner. So yeah, we're going to have a commercial building that'll be super cool. And then we'll have four townhomes, all on the like luxury higher end side, which is a bigger investment for me and our team. But I think it's an underserved market here. So it's not just us trying to like make nice things. I legitimately think it's an underserved market. And that's after talking to a lot of people to say, listen, if I want a, you know, nice kind of Chicago, New York style downtown lifestyle, we don't really have things that cater to that outside of nice, like higher rise condos, right? You got a 2-bedroom, 2-bath with a great view of the lake. And that's kind of the defining city living, right? If like you want to live downtown Milwaukee in like the coolest place, that's what you're going to picture. You're going to picture a nice 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom with a view of the lake. I think that there's a lot more in a good way. I think there's more to Milwaukee. Like I don't see the lake every day from my views, but I see the river in the north end. I live in the north end now. Like I see the river. I see people, a lot of walking. I see a lot of activity, which I also think is a great part of Milwaukee, right? Milwaukee is a very livable city. So I think we can, I think the market for more of that internal city, walkable, you know, kind of boots on the ground lifestyle, not just lake views, is a very hot commodity, or can be a very hot commodity, and is underserved in terms of, you know, new stuff. A lot of the stuff out there that exists now, you know, was built a decade plus ago and not as, you know, not kind of updated finishes and things like that. So I'm trying to serve that.
Yeah. That's exciting. I'm excited for you. Any closing thoughts?
Oh gosh. No, I mean, I would ask you all the same questions, but you guys are doing a lot of stuff too. You guys meet with a ton of big people in here. I watch your traffic come in and out of here every day. I'm always like, who's that? Who's that? You know, who's this? Who's this? You know, who's this person? So I would imagine.
We appreciate you turning your music down for a little bit yesterday. That was kind to you.
I try. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, I would, my closing statements would be only, you know, to ask you all the same questions and say, hey, you know, this was great. Appreciate it. You know,
absolutely. We could do that some other time, but thanks for walking the 10 steps over here. Congrats on your exit, your success. I'm excited about what you have to come.
Cool. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Awesome. Just a reminder to everyone listening, this show is brought to you by On Milwaukee and Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io. And if you got a bunch of value out of this, if you're in the Milwaukee business community, if you're a startup founder, make sure to share the episode. Josh dropped a lot of good nuggets in there. And thanks again for tuning in.